Of course, they want to continue producing it, exporting it, and also to be a good exporter, you have to have a home market to develop your production. So, of course, Swedish big business or big sections want to have Sweden as a leading nuclear nation. But as we see it, the nuclear power is as it is technically developed hitherto, at least, it's very dangerous, as we can see. And there are no secure nuclear system, not even the Swedish. We think this is some national, what do you call it? I don't know the Latin for it, but what do you call it? That it is to be a very big national or chauvinist opinion, because as some experts say, that every nuclear station is only a very short period of time from to break through. It can happen at any moment. And because you don't know when the atomic reactions are controlled and when they go not to be controlled. So it's very dangerous, and you have also this to how to store the waste from it. That's the other problem, which is not solved. You have the third problem, that is that the nuclear so-called peaceful nuclear production is combined with weapon production, and this is the third argument. But there is also a fourth, and that is that nuclear power is very expensive. And there has been a campaign from Swedish industry circle and from electrical industries that this very expensive form of energy, which is electricity, which is very developed form of energy, that more and more houses should be warmed by electricity and so on, which is rather wasty and expensive way of making houses warm. And of course, in Sweden, in the winter, we have to have.
I live in Davis, California, which is the
in the north of California.
Yes, but it is also the recognized center in the world for solar energy. We lead. We have world dignitaries coming all the time. The whole city is solar. My own home is a solar home, and so all these alternative forms of energy are things that I'm very akin to. Yet, 30 miles from my house, 31 miles from my house, what is that about? I don't know, 70 kilometers or so, I don't know, from my house is Rancho Seco, a nuclear power reactor, which gives Sacramento, not Davis, its energy. But if there was a Chernobyl accident there, so I'm very sensitive to that, I understand. So we are all active.
But it is very expensive. So.
Yeah.
And what has happened is that the industries in Sweden has made a campaign for people use more electric energy, and they have tried to sell it cheap. Why? Because they want to that Sweden should be built steady in the nuclear power and nuclear energetic system. So, of course, they have a strategy which is in the line of this, but they forget that it's really expensive energy. And, of course, in the long run, I think the energy from the sun, it could be the problems to make that more and more efficient could be solved also up here in the north.
Mm.
I think so. There,
With
it is just in the beginning, and you know, the amounts spent on research are very small compared to what is spent on the nuclear power.
Would Line 3 win today?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah. It would have won 6 years ago if there hadn't been that compromise,
was some of a political, tactical stroke, but it was very, at least half anti-democratic, I think, because it was to confuse people. And it succeeded, and this had also a problem that many ecologic activists and many activists on the left and so on were very disappointed and thought that, well, it doesn't pay to be an activist, because they, every time they find out something to confuse people. Many people were very pessimistic of the result, because of course many had the opposite, very big optimism that the Line 3 should win, and it should have, but...
And they thought it would win.
Yes, they had thought so, and they were very disappointed when we didn't. But I think it was a very good result, because we got 38% of the votes around. And you can see when all the establishment were against Line 3 in a country like Sweden. The only which perhaps was the big paper, Dagens Nyheter, who was more or less in favor of Line 3, but on the whole, all of the establishment were against it. Mm-hmm. And then in opposition to this, what you can call hegemonistic factor, get 38%, it's a very good result. And it shows really the feelings, the fears, and also the insight or the knowledge among the people about nuclear power.
My most interesting interviews with the people that I've met, I've been talking to many, many Swedes. This weekend I was away at a collective house with about 15 or 20 of them. It's really interesting. Something very interesting.
That every step you take on developing technology is a step of progress. But what I mean is that, nuclear technology is a step in the development of technology, but it is not a step of progress. You can say that the train can go on the right track, but they have also a side track which leads in the wall of the mountain or something like that. And that is what I think about this, because I think that we have come to a situation with the technological development in the world where we can say that every new step on the technological development is not the step of progress. There is what can be called some perversion of the technological development, and I think nuclear technology is something of that kind.
It's very similar to the use in Silent Spring, Rachel Carson's book, the way eventually pesticides and other gases found out to be more detrimental than they were worth.
So I can say that if you study Marxism, there has been that productive forces will develop and then it will create the need for new for production relations. Well, we can say that the productive forces of capitalism really continue to develop and develop in a very high speed, but also develop in a way that dehumanize life, not only the nuclear technology, also some other of the technological developments taking place nowadays. Of course, it could be used to make life more human, to give people more satisfaction in their work, give more possibility to avoid very routine and heavy works and so on. But now also some of the computerizing, automation and so on are used to that people are more and more made to be underdogs towards machinery, and that now there are at least a tendency which should be seriously studied, that some of our technologic development now dehumanize life for people, and this is really to pervert the progress of productive forces. I don't know if my bad English could
make my standpoint clear. When I was in graduate school, I studied Marx and read several. Read everything really. I wrote one of the best papers of my education 10 years ago on a comparison of the evolution of Marxist thought from the manuscripts of 1844 to the Grundrisse to Capital in terms of political alienation.
Yeah.
And I still have it, and I always, every couple of, I always go back and read it because it was, I thought, one of the most, one of the best things I ever wrote. One of the great teachers of Marxism in the United States at Princeton University, where I went, Robert Tucker, who has written books on Lenin and Stalin. I don't know if you're familiar with him, but and Marx himself. So I was very familiar with what you were just saying, and actually my mind was working, saying to myself, what you're saying makes a great deal of sense to me, and I had not thought about it until you articulated it. Mm-hmm. But it's something I'd want to explore and think about.
Yes, and I think at least also we have to explore and think, and that people working with these questions theoretically and scientifically ought to think on this in this way, or put in the questions at least. I don't say that what I say is the definite solutions, but I think problems could be stated in a way like that, and of course this in a way also can create some new social alliances and so on for making an alternate social and historical development, which is the goal of me as a social or communist or socialist, and as also by ecologists and so on, that there could be some new form of political and social movements.
Well, you're gaining strength, right?
Yeah, and they are beginning to develop, I think, also in practical life.
Yeah.
But of course there are also another side of it, because as you have this identification of what is that change of technology is the same as progress of technology, which are different things. As but those who lead the change of technology they also seem to be the most advanced and leading social strata or social class of society, and also they strengthen their hegemonistic grip over the society, and also in an ideologically and political and economic way. And of course we can see that this development also in Sweden as it is today and in other capitalist countries strengthen monopoly capital, where it's difficult for the alternative movements, for communists, the workers' movement, to find what is really the progressive and alternative technological development to what is now happening. Because sometimes perhaps the standpoints, our wishes of more human technology, more human culture, and a better ecological balance, and to avoid the ecological dangers, well, it is sometimes expressed in a too a general level to contradict what is practiced by the leading circles. And of course that is also called a socio-political problem.
Yeah.
This development.
Yeah. Boy, that's a term paper project right there. I give it to my students. Do you have 19 seats in the Riksdag now, is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, 19. Yeah. Okay, I wanted just to make it. Well, thank you. This was
Please.
Very useful.